Good morning. I'm Nathan Thomas. I'm the assistant pastor here. And as you can see, our children are dismissed for children's church. They will return at the end of service. Our passage this morning is in Ephesians 5. I'll be reading verses 15 through 21. And it's a little bit more than I think is on screen, unless that was... It's a little bit more. So I'm going to get the couple verses before this, and then we'll dive into the wine portion. Here's Ephesians 5. I'm starting in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word. Lord, I know I am a feeble and wicked man. I ask that the Spirit may carry this morning. I pray that I may be filled with the Holy Spirit. I ask that our hearts are moved towards you. Convict us of our sins. Let us sing the joy of salvation that the Spirit shows us that Christ provides. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have this habit. I have several habits, but there's this one in particular that gets me in a little trouble occasionally. I first noticed this when I was in Pennsylvania, when I was invited to a barbecue. I got there and I was, one, a little disappointed that it was just hamburgers and hot dogs, but, you know, it's still good food, and I was really excited fixing my hot dog. And when I get excited, especially when I get excited about food, I start to hum. Sometimes, yeah, I really do start to hum. And I've never noticed before then. I don't know if I did that as a younger child. I don't know when I picked up that habit. But that was the first time, because I was humming right next to the RUF worship leader. And she goes, "Who's humming?" I was like, "I don't know," as I'm humming. And so I get really excited about food. That's something that has always been true. I still do this. I try very hard not to. So in social situations, don't be offended if I'm not humming while I'm fixing food. It's just I'm very aware of the fact that I do this. And I know I still do it because last fall I was over at a dinner party and there was apple pie for dessert. And if you know me, I am a huge fan of apple pie. It is my birthday pie. And so I was at this party, and I was the only one in the kitchen, and so I was composing a whole new song and several stanzas and choruses. And by the time I was so into it and so excited about the pie, I was sitting back at the table, and I was still singing. Realized, cut myself off, apologized, but the hostess was very gracious. She's like, no, you can continue to sing. But I didn't. Now, the reason I hum, the reason I sing is because I take joy in food. This is a true story. I enjoy it. But as Christians, we have a far deeper joy. We have a far deeper love than what food can provide. When we look at Christ and the work that he has done on our behalf, advocating for us, well, that to bring us to joy and song in the way we live our lives, The way we interact with one another and the way we interact with the world should be a reflection and an expression of that great salvation, of the great joy of our faith, of the hope and the comfort that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And so that is our main point this morning. If you walk away with nothing else, I would like you to walk away with this. Our lives should reflect the work of the Holy Spirit. Our lives should be a song to God. Simple, it's straightforward, it's not overly complicated, but if we're going to do this, if we're going to live a life that is reflecting of the Holy Spirit, if we're going to live a life that shows who Christ is and what he has done for us, then we must first examine our lives. And indeed, this is what Paul begins this portion of his letters. He is very straightforward. Look carefully how you walk. Now, this isn't unique to the Christian faith, this call to reflect upon your life. It's pretty universal. Matter of fact, Socrates is the one who said, a life unexamined is not worth living. And he goes on to say that the only good is knowledge. And don't stand with Socrates there, or at least certainly not how he meant it. But we should live a life that has self-examination. We should look carefully at how we walk. We are not naive as believers. We are not careless. We are called. We are required. We are told and asked and pressed upon to reflect the way we live our lives. To assess, am I living a life that reflects the love that I say I believe in? Yeah, we should have time of self-examination. Very much aware of what we do on the day-in and day-out basis. And to help our self-examination, Paul provides this wonderful, stark contrast. He makes it simple for us. He says, here's what is good, and here is what is evil. He lays it out pretty carefully, pretty straightforward, and it's really kind of nice. There's not a huge ton of nuance here, which can be helpful. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for nuance. I'm a fan of nuance. I studied philosophy. I can nuance things so much that I never actually make any definitive statement whatsoever. And I do want to acknowledge, life is complex. Everything is interconnected. Even our relationships, even the best of our relationships can be messy. But when Paul is like this, when he's talking about there's wise and there's unwise, there's understanding the will of God and there's foolishness, it helps us be grounded. It helps us keep things simple and makes it a little bit easier. And it serves as a great reminder. There is a spiritual aspect behind everything. We have a tendency to go about our days and think of the actions that we do, the music that we listen to, the movies we watch as simply spiritually neutral. But truth be told, Scripture does not allow for a spiritually neutral standpoint. And so Paul reminds us there are ways of evil, and then there are ways that the Holy Spirit shows us. And so when we reflect carefully on our lives, when we look carefully on how we walk, we need to know exactly what we're looking for. It's helpful. When I assess what I am doing, what exactly should I be looking for? And so we have a couple of things to talk about, and I'm going to talk about the evil portion first. Just go ahead and get that out of the way so we can talk about the Holy Spirit and the good things that come with him, because that's awesome. All right, so after this exhortation, That was a lot of syllables. Paul writes this, be wise, not unwise, but wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. That's pretty unequivocal. We need to be careful with our time, because if we are not, our entire spiritual walk will resemble more of a limp. Like we're walking through a, hiking through a rooted path and we're stumbling from step to step. And there's a myriad of things that are competing for our time. We live in a society where everything is trying to grab your attention. Everything demands your focus. We have no scale of urgency. Everything is important. Everything needs to be done. Everything is huge. And if that thing, whatever it may be, isn't of the Heavenly Father, if it isn't of Christ and His kingdom, then it's of the world. Matter of fact, John Calvin says it far more poetically than I could. Everything around us tends to corrupt and mislead, so that it is difficult for godly persons who walk among so many thorns to escape unhurt. And I think everybody in this room can relate to this quote. There's time in which you've been hurt. There may be times where you're trying to be well, righteous, and wise, and yet you're hurt. This can be discouraging, but it does serve the believer well to remember we walk among thorns, and we have to be aware of this. We have to have this constant vigilance. We need to be careful of the way we spend our time, and whether it is time in scripture or in prayer, we're like, yeah, this is clearly spiritual and good. Or times with our friends, where we go to a concert or the movies. Matter of fact, I love doing movie nights with the youth. And one of the things that I picked up from Charles, and I don't know if Charles started it or the youth leader before him, watch a movie, and then after, we always ask the youth, what are things you would challenge in this movie? In its message, and what are things that you would affirm? And we do this with the youth, one, to help them learn to assess the things that they are consuming, to make a better use of the entertainment that they're enjoying. Yes, it's okay to be entertained. That is perfectly fine and good. That's part of the beauty of art, that we can create things. The way we consume entertainment, we don't want it to be mindless. And so it is good to ask the youth these questions to help them think through it. Because when we walk with wisdom, that's a practice skill. And we are called to practice this skill. And if we do not practice it, we're going to continue on a path that is... And Paul's... continues on with this, right? If he continues on with this idea of the days are evil, because he escalates it from the lack of wisdom to foolishness, and he culminates in this phrase, do not get drunk, for that is debauchery. Again, Paul is very straightforward. He's keeping it simple, and we need to understand the culture in which he was writing. The ancient Greek culture, while very thoughtful, revolutionary in the way they shaped the Western world and the way we think, also very bleak outlook on life. There were wonderful epitaphs. Now imagine your tombstone saying something like this: I was not, I care not. How could you? You're dead. Or even this cheery one, hopeful, really, we are nothing. as we were before. That's the society into which Paul is writing this letter. And if that's your mindset, if this is what you think, if life is all that there is, in ancient Greece, how do you approach that? Well, you party while you have the chance. Because what else is there? And truth be told, that nihilism, that belief that it doesn't matter, that's not too far from where our culture is heading. Everybody is looking for hope somewhere. Everybody is looking for some way to escape. And if we're not anchored in the Holy Spirit, if we don't know the hope and the salvation that is offered in Christ, we will find ourselves devoid of anything. Devoid of anything that produces lasting joy. Sure, we can indulge the physical, and that may be fine for an hour. And then it'll dissipate. And if we do that, if we go from the temporary to the temporary, ultimately that just leads to the destruction of the soul. Paul knows this. And so this is why he has this wonderful contrast. Because he anchors this whole paragraph, this whole pericope, in this one phrase. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. That's not the phrase that's anchored. He's like, don't do this. And here comes the contrast. And this is what we should look for when we walk in our faith. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is where we go. He is whom we go to. And let us remember who the Spirit is. He is the one who shines the light on the Father and the Son. He is the one who shows us the love that we have in Jesus. He is the one who opens up our hearts. He is the one that Christ calls the Helper in John 14. He is one that shows us the life we have in Jesus. And so Paul is going from being drunk to this idea of filling up on the Holy Spirit. Like, we need to lean on Him. So the call for the believer, the call for us this morning, whatever it may, whoever, wherever you are in your faith, whether you're new to Christ, you're new to the Scriptures, or you've been a Christian all of your life, and you've heard, you've read through the Scriptures numerous times, seen generations of faith coming into the church, we live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. For He's the one who provides the light we need. He's the one who provides the wisdom and diligence necessary for our Christian walk, our faithful walk. He's the one who helps us live a life in the manner worthy of our Savior, worthy of Jesus. So when He says, be filled, I can't help but think of the woman at the well in John 4, where Christ is like, I will give you water where you will never thirst. And so when we are filled, it is like drawing water out of a well, pulling out a bucket, taking a deep and thirst, that our soul longs for, that our soul aches for. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We find our hope, our comfort. We are reminded of the love of Jesus. We are reminded of our wonderful God and Savior. We are restored. And so, but it does lead us to the question, what does a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit look like? Because there is a practical side, like, great, I love it, Nathan, you drink from the well of the Holy Spirit. We go to Him, we fill ourselves up. Marvelous. But what does that look like? Well, again, Paul makes it straightforward for us, and I love that he does this. because it takes all the guesswork out. And don't get me wrong, I'm very good at guessing. But I don't have to. But he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then immediately comes to addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Marvelous. It's, in truth be told, singing is a major part of the Christian life. The largest book, Scripture, the Psalms, is a song book. 150 songs. All of them worshipful. Some of them about going to worship. We're not just songs during the worship service. This is a song going to worship. I love the Song of Ascents. Some of them on how difficult things are. Yet all are songs to God. All of them inspired by the Holy Spirit that we may sing of our great Lord. And when we get glimpses into heaven, we see even the angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Beautiful. Throughout Scripture, we see the life of believers marked by singing. Our eternal life will be marked with singing. Wonderful. We get to delight in the songs of our Savior. And that's what we should do. We should delight in the songs of God. Or as Calvin calls them, this is a truly pleasant and delightful fruit. And one of the things I appreciate about Stuart, one of the many things, I enjoy working with this man, my friend, but he writes hymns, he writes songs, and we'll occasionally sing them here at church, and that's great. And why shouldn't he write songs? Of course we should write new songs. The Spirit is not done working. He didn't finish in the 1800s with the hymns written then. No, he continues to work in the life, so of course we'll write new songs and sing them to one another, sing them to the Lord. And we should, because we should be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the one we go to. He is the one who satisfies, truly satisfies our souls, those aches and those pains. He is the one who soothes them over, provides the healing and restoration that we need. And the beauty of this, there's several beauties with this. We could go on all day about the beauties of this, but I don't think y'all would like for me to do that. But it's not just songs to God. It's songs to one another. We sing together. We are with one another in this. Our songs are the story of how God is at work in our lives. And yet, they're not always literal songs. I'm not saying we should just greet each other with harmonies, which we can. I'll be happy to do that. I'm not very musically talented, but I'm happy to sing with you. But when we talk about these songs and hymns and psalms, it's sharing the way the Lord is at work in your life. I oversee Sunday school. The Sunday school ministry team oversees it. It is my delight to work with the Sunday school ministry team. It's been a true blessing working with Adam and Chris Corson and Becky Thompson, and we're looking to add more members. If you're interested, come talk to us. And one of the things we did last summer is we asked members of the congregation to share their testimony. It was beautiful. We had members, young members of our church, come share. We had one, she Skyped in from New York to share the work that the Lord is doing in her life up in New York. And we've had some of the saints who have been here since Westminster started. share what the Lord is doing in their lives. And it was beautiful. And I got fussed at because I didn't record them. And so next time we do this, I will try to record them as well. But we share what the Spirit is doing. Because when we do that, that builds us up. It is an act of faithfulness. It helps encourage and edifies us. And when we hear the songs of how the Lord is at work, even in difficult times, and how he was at work in the joyous time and the hard times, the more we share the Spirit, the more we praise his name, the more we sing those songs, the more vibrant the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ will be, the stronger our walk will be in the Lord, the more we will be filled by the Holy Spirit. So be quick to share the song of what the Lord is doing. And let that melody come from your heart. This is a beautiful tag that Paul puts in there. Let the melody come from your heart. I don't want you to be a hypocrite. There are times, it was more true when I was in the college ministry. It's less true now. But I'd have these conversations with my students and like, oh, everything's rough. Exams are tough. So-and-so broke up with me. I can't find a church. And they're like, okay. We share, we talk about Jesus. And then we go to pray. And it's like, oh, Jesus, you're amazing. I thank you. And just like this total reverse of how they're truly feeling. But let our songs be open and honest and true to where we are in our faith. Whether we are on a mountain and joyous and in celebration and seeing clearly all the blessings that the Lord has put before us and in awe, or in the valley where it's dark and it's hard to see. Let's share that as well with one another. For that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of my volunteers, I asked one of my volunteers about a year ago, asked her how she was doing. She gave me a response, and she's like, is that a good answer? And this happens a lot. It's something about my face. When I ask a question, everybody just tries to give me the right answer. I was like, well, is it an honest answer? She's like, yeah, it's an honest answer. Well, an honest answer is a good answer. An honest song is the best song. One of my favorite hymns, I was listening to it this week, and I don't think... it's written by John Newton. One of my former students updated it with music and sort of rearranged the words to make it fit better to the music that he was writing, called Quiet Lord, My Froward Heart. Now, it is an old song with lots of old words like froward. I didn't mispronounce Ford. It's froward, which is a song about a heart that is willfully contrary to the Lord. Because that's where John Newton was. That's what he was dealing with, a heart that was willfully contrary in rebellion against God, and he did not want to be there. So he writes this song, this prayer for meekness. I love it. And if that's where your heart is, if that is the case, the way we share with one another, the way we sing those songs of the Holy Spirit should reflect where we are and what the Lord is doing in our lives. For when our words, when our actions are a reflection of this, and when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Then we are walking in ways that are wise. Then we are making the best use of our time. And we reflect and say, am I being filled with the Holy Spirit? Are my words and actions, are they a reflection of what the Lord has done for me and where I am at in my relationship with God? If we can say honestly, yes, then we are walking, we are being filled by the Holy Spirit. That is good for us. That is edifying one another, allowing us to give thanks in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit without losing the appreciation that we have in Jesus. When we sing these songs, brothers and sisters, it is good for your soul. It is good for your edification. It is wonderful for your sanctification. It brings you closer to the Lord. It brings your brothers and sisters closer to the Lord. They sing with you. We sing with one another. Again, we have a missionary coming for Sunday school next week. I hope you are all able to attend. We will hear the song of the Lord, what he is doing elsewhere. And we will get to sing with the stranger who is indeed our brother. That is good. So let us live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to draw upon him day in, day out, hourly. For he is the water. He is the one who quenches our thirst. He is the one who soothes our soul. He is the one who shows us the salvation. So this is what we do. We live this life. We assess everything and we let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let us sing the songs of the great work in which he has done and he continues to do in our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are not an absentee Father. You are very much with us. Do not abandon your children. You do not bring us to your family and then leave us alone. No, we have a brother in Christ who loves us so. And I pray that we all may be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may see of this great love, that we may sing of it to one another, to our neighbors in the streets. That our lives be a reflection of the love, that great love that you have for us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.